And when we talk about the Antichrist, that word anti, we sort of think anti means against Christ, but the word anti actually has two meanings. One is against, the other one means the same as Christ. So what an Antichrist means is not only against Christ, but it's a false Christ. And I think that's why Jesus said in the last days, and if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Something so false that people will accept it. And the only way we can stand against that is by having the Word of God. And if we don't have the Word of God, which is the truth, we can't distinguish what is good from evil. We can't distinguish what is flesh from spirit. We don't know. We have to understand the Word of God. But just like it to open up to any questions. Again, like Matthew said, if we know the answer, we'll give a biblical opinion. If we don't, then we'll tell you that we don't know it, because there's a lot of questions people have.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. My question is regarding that bloodshed, where one quarter or some large percent of people will be killed and the blood will flow. Are they going to be Muslims who will be killed?
Okay. Yeah, that's... There will be a lot of blood flowing, that's true. That came from one of the judgments in Revelation. Revelation said that the wrath of God is coming upon the earth in a number of different judgments. And a lot of Revelation also is symbolic, but it says this, then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. Is that the verse that you... I guess, I'm not sure exactly what scripture, unless Matt knows, but there will be a lot of bloodshed in that day. So whether it's on water or land is probably irrelevant.
Obviously the biggest destruction, mass destruction, is going to be when Jesus Christ himself comes at the Battle of Armageddon. There is the prophecy in Zechariah where it talks about the flesh basically melting off people's bodies. And I would apply that again to the same as the return of Christ. You could even say that speaks prophetically of nuclear war or something. But I suppose the biggest attack, when all the nations are gathered against Jerusalem, and all nations, and in Zechariah again, it speaks of it as being a big war. So it's not just a momentary event, it's a big war, and half of Jerusalem goes into captivity. So it looks as if the Antichrist is winning. It looks like the Antichrist armies are dominating, and that they've basically won, and that the people of God, in the sense of God's covenant with Israel, they're going to be defeated. But I think God is going to use that so that Israel cries out for their Savior. So God is using the bad situations to bring Israel back to himself. So at the same time, you've got this massive army that thinks it's victorious, and then suddenly Jesus Christ comes back. And then it talks about this mass slaughter. And again, the false prophet, the Antichrist, thrown into hell, but this bloodshed. And then it talks about the prophecy calling all the birds to come and eat the flesh. So it's going to be a mass slaughter before Jesus Christ rules on the earth. And then you go into the millennium where the time of peace, and they have to collect the bodies at the beginning and clean up the mess. Next question.
A lot of people in America believe the Illuminati and the New World Order is linked. Can you...
Sorry,
the Illuminati and the New World Order is linked? A lot of Americans believe it. Can you tell us if there's relation to it?
Yeah, the Illuminati is a factual historical group of people. It's not a conspiracy. There is a group of people who own most of the world. And if you look at the lives of those individuals, a lot of their decisions made over the past 500-600 years have been leading up to control the world. For example, one of the key figures in that group, and the Illuminati is based upon, it's the Enlightenment, and it's satanic. It's based upon the worship of Lucifer. And one of the major key figures is David Rockefeller. And he wrote a book, And he said, you know, people are accusing me of wanting to create a new world order. And he said, if that's what they say, then I'm guilty. So what he's saying is, yeah, they're right. I am trying to establish a new world order. But definitely, that is something that those people are just pawns of Satan. Satan's using them for his own purpose. But definitely, the Illuminati is a factual historical group of people who control the major events in history. They've caused many of the wars. They've caused the great depressions, the great economic problems, for their own purposes, and it's to gain control. And most of what they're doing is firstly financial control, to take the money from the lower and the middle income people to a select small group of people. What that means is that everyone else in the world needs them. So whatever they say, whatever laws they pass, people have to do it because they hold the financial resources, the money, and the power. So there is a link in absolutely. If you actually look at the list of the people who are involved in some of those groups, they are the leading CEOs in the biggest corporations in the world. They are in the governments all over the world. They're in the United Nations. They're in the Council of Europe. So many of them are in the Illuminati. Obviously, there's a number of conspiracies involved in that. There's a lot of speculation. But the fact is, it's a true historical entity that has been used in controlling world affairs for the last 500 years or so.
I think the question is, how far are we from maybe establishing this person that we are all, that the UN is thinking of putting him in charge of their affairs or their leader? How far away are we from that situation?
I guess that's one thing that everyone thinks about. There's a lot of signs that we see in the scriptures. And again, reading from Revelation 13 tonight, it's very, very clear that before this man appears, that there is a world system that controls the world. Because immediately after that, it says, then I saw another, which means he's seen the first, there's a world system, then I saw another beast rising up. And it says, this is the man of sin. So obviously, the first system first. And that is, again, it says, all the world. That means everyone. All the world marveled and followed the beast. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. So when we see that, this system established, then we'll see that the man of sin is shortly coming. As far as when will this system be established? It seems that there will be an economic collapse. My background is economics and finance, and for years I've researched the banking system, what's happened in the economic situation in the world, and the United States economy will totally collapse, possibly shortly. This is my opinion, probably within the next 2 or 3 years, from a financial analyst position, very, very shortly. As a result of that, it seems that the whole world economy will collapse. That's my opinion. But a lot of secular financial analysts will agree with that. In the next 2 or 3 years, America's financial situation can never be reversed. It's impossible. Their debt is too great. They can never, ever change it. It's impossible, statistically. So it's probably within the next 2 or 3 years that economically things will start to turn down. And it seems that when that happens, the Council of Europe will say, look, we must make sure this never happens again. Let's establish a world banking system and a world government so that this sort of thing doesn't happen again. So that sort of thing will be a precursor or a catalyst to bring in this world system. And then after the world system is established, shortly after probably there'll be this man who becomes a great world leader. But they're very, very close. So again, that's my opinion looking at the facts, but yeah.
Is the mark of the beast literal?
I guess in popular culture, the mark of a beast is like a barcode or something. But if you look at what's happening in the world today, what they've created is what they call an RFID chip. And some people have this already. It's a microchip that they have in their hand, And what all of their information is stored in that microchip. And if we look at, for example, the progression of technology, we've gone from the FPOS card, now we've come to phones, and now all you have to do is just swipe your phone in front of a reader and it can read the information. So what's happening is technology is becoming so great that all of our details are going to be put in something. And I read an article this week of a man who bought the latest Apple iPhone 6, and he put a chip in his hand, and he can control his iPhone by waving his hand in front of it. So it seems that it will be a microchip that will have all of our information, all of our medical records, all of our financial information, all of our history, all of the information about us, who we are. So when you walk into a supermarket, instead of giving your wallet, you just walk past and swipe your hand in front of the reader, or it just fans across your face. It has an economic aspect to it, which involves buying and selling. Therefore, something to do with monetary value must be involved. So it seems that instead of just being a mark, it might be a tattoo underneath our skin. But it seems that it will be an RFID microchip.
Why I ask this question? Because if I deny it, if I reject it, and they force it on me, how can I lose eternal life? If that's the way they force, like a kettle, you just force the kettle and put stamp my name on it, and wherever it goes belongs to me. That's why I ask, is it literal or is it spiritual?
Yeah. It's literal, because again, it's linked. Well, the Bible seems to reveal it's literal because it's linked to buying and selling, which are practical things. They're not spiritual things, they're everyday things. And I would suggest that it wouldn't be something that they can hold your hand down, no, and then they do it. Again, worship, the form of worship is something that can't be forced upon someone. So I think the Bible is pretty clear that it shows it is a literal thing, and I don't think it will be forced upon people. Otherwise, why would they kill us? Otherwise, they would just force everyone, wouldn't they? Why it says that those who reject the mark will be killed. So definitely there will, the Bible says, there will be people who will reject it, and those people will be killed. But if they forced everyone to get it, why would they kill them?
I would say that we have to remember that it is the mark of the beast. It's the mark of the Antichrist, or let's say the one behind the beast is the devil. It's the mark of the devil. So it's going to be, let's say, a situation where it's people are forced to choose. Are you going to be for God or for the devil? So it's not going to be some kind of grey thing where, well, it will be a deception. So in that sense it will. But it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be, oh, Christians, are we going to be afraid? I'm not going to be able to buy or sell without it. You know, there's got a lot of scenarios are going to take place and a lot of situations. But at the end of the day, we've got to trust God and say, God is my provider. My faith is in him. And God will do miracles of provision like he did for Israel. Israel didn't need any money through the wilderness. You know, they had 40 years with no money. How did they survive? God did it for them. You know, in heaven, there's no money that I can see. So how did they survive in heaven? There's no money. So yes, the money system is, it's in some ways it's good, but it's so corrupt, and it's been so in these hands of these big people that Michael has mentioned, these big CEOs and billionaires who are sort of controlling the world, and behind that's the devil. So in one sense, we want God's blessing of provision and financial blessing, but if the financial system changes, like if Michael says in the next 2 or 3 years, if it all America's money system collapses, you know, that's going to be open things wide for the United Nations to bring in their agenda. So it might take longer than that.
It's regarding that revelation. Death and hates are cast into the lake of brimstone and fire. Can you just explain it, please?
Jesus said that the one who has the power of death is the devil. That's what he says in Hebrews. So Satan has the power of death. When Jesus rose from the dead, he destroyed the power of death. He broke it. Death is a spirit. It's real. It's a spirit. I've met people, talked to people. There's a death spirit that comes and takes people. Hades or hell is not the end. There's three different places called hell. They're different. One is where the evil spirits are kept. And the other one for people who have died is a waiting place. Hell or Hades is the same word. It's a waiting place until the final white throne judgment. And after hell and after the judgment is the lake of fire. So hell is not the end. The lake of fire is the end. And that's what we read in Revelation about three different places. It says the beast, the false prophet, they were thrown into the lake of fire. At the very end, Satan was thrown into the lake of fire. They're not thrown into hell. Hell is a waiting place. There's torment in hell. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of torment and punishment. But it's a waiting place until the judgment. And then the lake of fire. So death in itself has been overcome. And hell and death, obviously hell itself, those who have been judged at the great white throne judgment and found guilty, they will be thrown to the lake of fire. Death in itself will be destroyed. And that's what Paul said in Corinthians. Paul said the last enemy to be destroyed is death. How did death come in the beginning? Sin. Sin came, we died. So in one sense, death is it's a spiritual thing. Do you want to add something to that?
I'll just say that there's a temporary hell, and then there's the final hell. I call them all hell because they're hell. But when you die now, your spirit leaves your body. If you're an unbeliever and you're lost, you go down into hell, which is in the center of the earth. But that hell is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. So the temporary hell will go to the eternal hell. So in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be no hell. The lake of fire will be a separate thing. But at the moment, it seems that hell is actually in the center of the earth, because Jesus said that when he died, he went down into the center of the earth. So that's how I see it.
Okay, I just wanted to ask, there is churches right now, there's a lot of churches. There's a church called Universal Church. Can you tell me that is not of God? That's the answer I want to ask. But what I'm going to ask, the answer what I really wanted to ask was, Matthew was saying in this meeting, I don't know whether it's Christians or it is not Christians, but I just wanted to know, is those people Christians where they say they saw Jesus, came into the meeting and healed people and left the meeting? But what I know, the devil won't come in the meeting and heal somebody and leave. So that is the question I wanted to ask, is those people maybe Christians?
Okay, with that universal church, I would have to look closely at their teachings. Are they still teaching something like the Holy Trinity? Many cults quickly start denying the divinity of Christ, even though they're using the name of Jesus. So we know certain basic deceptions and false teachings that can come into a church. So you have to look at the teaching to examine it and see what some of their deeper doctrines are. When it comes to healing, you know, there is also false prophets, false miracles, and often it's to do with their motives. And that one that I mentioned, they sent me the photo of that Jesus, and it was a I don't know if he was Pakistani or where he was. But they claimed that he came into the meeting and did miracles. But their teaching is basically not the gospel, and it's a false Christ. So he was not the return of Christ. They were saying Jesus has come back. So again, we have to have discernment when we're in a meeting. You know, what is God's spirit? And sometimes you just have to not rush to conclusions. as the false prophet and the different things, there's going to be false miracles. So again, it comes to what are they really teaching about Jesus? Are they acknowledging his divinity? Are they acknowledging he's the only way to heaven? He's the true Savior? Or are they saying that this man is Jesus and they're putting a false Christ and a false person? So there's going to be many preachers who use the name of Jesus to do miracles, and they're going to stand before Jesus and he says, I don't know you. So just because a person does miracles, or even just because miracles are happening in a church, you have to look behind it. So what I say is this: the devil got his power from God originally. He corrupted it and he used it for his own evil purpose. So there can be preachers like that. They may be called, you know, Judas Iscariot, he may have become the most powerful miracle worker of all time, better than the Apostle Paul if he didn't compromise and deny Christ. He probably did many miracles before he died and went to hell. So our focus is on not just the miracles that are happening, but it's the message, it's the doctrine, it's the teaching, it's our focus of Jesus. And if a person is in a false church, it can be really hard to set them free, because they'll say all the good things. And they'll say all the things that God's done. And then it can be tricky to discern what is of God and what is not.
Maybe just one short thing I'll add is, you know, the scripture says that even Satan can transform himself to become a messenger of light, which means like an angel. So if Satan can do that, it would be very easy for many people to be deceived. Well, look at this beautiful, it must be a messenger of light. So again, for me, to be delivered from deception, the Bible says we have to have a love for the truth. And in Thessalonians, it says that in the last days, people will be deluded, and God will give them over to believe a lie because they didn't love the truth. They didn't love the truth. But if we love the truth and we know the truth, it delivers us from deception. And also, when the Holy Spirit lives within us, we have his voice. And the Bible says the Spirit bears witness with it. Sometimes in churches things happen, and I want to listen for the Holy Spirit. And many times he will say, this is not from me. So I just move away from it. Other things, I hear that voice, this is okay. So we have to be always listening to the Holy Spirit, and what he says will always line up with this. Just a quick example. I might have shared this last month. There was a preacher who started preaching about 8 years ago in America. And he said an angel appeared to him and gave him this message. And he began to move in healing. And thousands of people from all over the world traveled to America to hear him preach. And they said, this man is the greatest healing evangelist for the last 100 years. This is the greatest revival that America's ever seen. This is going to be the greatest revival in the world. But as soon as I heard him preach, everything he was saying was against the Bible. And so immediately I said, he's a false prophet. I'm not going to listen to him. But why is it that thousands and thousands of people went from every country over the world to listen to him? And apparently people were healed. There was a lot of physical manifestations. It looked like God was working. But in the end, he left his wife, committed adultery, divorced his wife, married another wife, and the whole thing collapsed. So those people who went to him, they weren't in their Bible. They weren't loving the truth. They weren't listening to the Holy Spirit. Because if they were, they would know this man's false. He's not speaking the words of Jesus. So how important for us. The only way to be kept and saved from deception is by loving the truth and having this word in our heart and living by it.
I think one danger for preachers is because we want to save lots of people, but there's a danger of pride coming in, so that you end up leading people to your big ministry and building your big ministry. And the mistakes that Solomon made that led him away from God has happened to some Christian ministries, and they become like big little empires that have crumbled. I could lie to you and say, if you give $1,000 to my missionary offering, God's going to make you a millionaire. I mean, that's what the prosperity gospel is. And you have to give now. You have to give now because the anointing here, the Spirit of God is here. If you give to me now, God's going to bless you. He's going to take away all your financial problems and he's going to do this. And so this is what basically prosperity preachers do. And in one sense, they're using God's anointing for their own selfishness. They're not saying, let you be careful about your greed. Jesus, he warned people about greed. So often it's they're preaching the prosperity gospel, which has truths to it, has certain amounts of blessings and righteousness, and people can get blessed. But the danger is of actually they're using it in a slightly wrong way. So people can, in the end, give sacrifice for their money and think, God's going to bless me now, but they won't get blessed now. They'll get blessed in heaven, but they're going to suffer now. So you have to have a good, balanced thing. And the same is with miracles. Because if you've got miracles happening, you're going to draw people. So if you want lots of people, you can just give lots of stories about miracles. And last night an angel came to me and I saw this and I've been to heaven 3 times and I've done this. And they can sound good, but they're actually lying because they're wanting popularity. It's like they don't have patience to do the hard work. They want the shortcuts. And that's what I think. That's my personal view of the evangelist that Michael was referring to. I heard a lot of his stories, and I think that they were lies. And he was saying, this angel came to me, and this angel came to me. And I think it's because he wanted to take shortcuts. He wanted to build a big ministry. He wanted popularity. He wanted to get people to listen to him and follow him and rejoice with him. So that's why I think all of these things, we have to focus our eyes on Jesus Christ. Look beyond the person, the sin and the evil, and we've got to follow Jesus. Is the person leading people to Jesus or not? I'll just ask Jason to close in prayer.
Heavenly Father, all things come from you. You made these people with the knowledge and revelation to help us understand. And now as Matthew is going to Fiji, oh Lord, bless him abundantly, that his resources and knowledge will saturate the heart of people. And for Brother Michael Jacobson and his great family serving the nations of God, heart for the salvation. Cover him with your anointing evermore, O Lord. Protect him, prosper him, that he can be vessel of honor, not only in prayer tower, but everywhere he goes. And Lord, for those who have been listening with an open heart, we have rejoiced, but let us not be quiet here. Let us spread good news that you are in control and in command, and in you we live and move and have our being. So in you we will put our trust. Your mercy endureth forever. We who have good news are not going to keep it to ourselves. We will be a blessing to those who have no good news. Lord, bless the refreshment and bless each person. In Jesus' name I cry. Amen.